Hi there. Happy Sunday and welcome to Enter the Light. We're back. We had to take a little bit of a hiatus there due to various injuries and illnesses, and teaching us once again that we're just mortal like everybody, but everyone's kind of rallying. Linda's got company today, so she's going to just do some listening. But yeah, Tony's here, Tony Jorgensen and Jessica Marie Tatro with Jaden in spirit, and we're all here. And wow, so it's been quite the wild ride, you guys. How's everything going with you both? Jess, how you doing there, kid? I won't make you talk if it's hurting.
I'm here today. I've had a cough in the past week, so I think that's why my voice is cracking in and out. I don't have a sore throat, so I think it's just from the coughing. But other than that, I've just been trying to rest and a lot of love and self-care, and that's what my past a week has looked like so far. So
have you got any remedies? Any herbal treatments or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
I've been taking extra vitamin C. It's pure vitamin C and L-lysine and B12 and zinc. You know, I've just kind of increased those when I get sick. So that's kind of what I've been doing. You know, just sleeping when I need to sleep. You know, our bodies need that downtime to regenerate. So
yeah. Wow. And it does remind you, too, that, like, we're in these meat machines that they go for us for a while, but they're not flawless or, you know, forever. But anyway,
right.
So far, so good. We're all kind of hanging in, even if it's by a thread.
Yeah.
And Tony, what adventures are you on lately? Have you had?
So I have just been literally working my ass off, excuse the term, but I have my salon, and then in the evenings I go into I work in a senior center, which is, there should be a reality show about it. Honestly, it's crazy. It's amazing and it's fun and it's just cray cray half the time. And so then I go into the dining room some of the nights and I work in the dining room. So this is a short little funny story that one of the ladies that worked the front desk is a retiree, and she's probably about 80 herself. And she put the wrong times for dinner on a paper. And, you know, everybody looks at that paper because what else do they have to do? They want to know when their meal times are, you know.
Yeah.
And they so literally everybody has been showing up at one time, and we have to feed some people from memory care, which takes a little while to do that. We feed about 125 people three times a day. So
wow.
When the dinner time comes, yeah. So we walked out from memory care, which memory care is easy to feed. You just put it in front of them, and they're so grateful to get food. They don't care. But assisted living is a little different because they pay a lot of money to live there, and it's like a fine dining restaurant, literally. We're dressed in black and white, and I'm the supervisor, which I never get to be the supervisor because I'm literally just running around putting out fires and taking orders. But we walk out, and everybody in the whole building showed up at the same time, and there was two of us. So it was like the worst server nightmare you could even imagine, plus 10. And now I'm laughing about it, but I was just like, I wanted to run back in those double doors and not walk back out. They gave them these little signs that said, service please, because sometimes when they join a table later, we might not see them. So everybody, so 100 people had these little signs that they were waving, service please. So if you can picture
Oh, Tony, you must have the patience of a saint, my dear. It's lovely.
I felt like crying. And then once I got that over with, then I just went to work and we did the best we can. We made like a flight attendant cart with drinks on it. We just hurried up and figured it out. And one person went around with all the drinks, and then I took the orders. So,
yeah,
I mean, we got through it, but it was like, the worst service nightmare that you could possibly think of.
Never a dull moment. I remember one of my very first jobs. I guess I was about 16, and I worked in this truck stop as a waitress. And sometimes buses would come through with all these people, and you'd have to make ice cream cones for them. And the freaking stuff was hard as rock, and it was just a nightmare making these endless. And I used to dream about, even when I was away from work, I would dream about making these endless ice cream cones. It really does mess with your head. But somehow we cope and we manage. We get through it. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's
well,
like, you know those bus stops when people take those tour buses?
Yeah.
And usually the restaurants know ahead of time that 100 people are going to get off the bus, so they're somewhat ready. But that's what it reminded me of, was a tour bus that stopped and nobody told us it was coming, and 100 people got off the bus at one time.
And I bet you never lost your temper with a single one, too, right? That's really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we just snatched the red signs out of their hands. You can't lose your patience with them. We just took the red signs out of their hands, and it got better. So.
No. I mean, it's comedy. It's, you know, comedy, tragedy, pick one, right? It's But you have some really cool memoirs to work on when you're done
all
this.
Yeah, I do. I know.
Oh, my goodness.
It would make a funny book.
Yeah. I'd read it. So we're talking about psychic abilities, and like every single one of us comes to this earth with the potential to be a psychic. You know, it's like, you know, they liken it to piano playing. Some people are really good at playing piano. Some can pick out chopsticks, but, you know, we all have the potential to work with our psychic abilities. And if you don't want to use them, that's perfectly fine. It's an inside job. But if you are recognizing your own psychic abilities blossoming, where do you go with that? Where do you start? Because there are millions of paths you can take. I've noticed that, I don't know, over the last maybe 10 years or so, the number of gurus and teachers and courses and whatnot have just burgeoned. It's like, how do you pick? You know, who do you go to, and how do you know if you're going to like someone who's the real deal or someone's just, you know, and it's a weird and scary territory to navigate. Jessica, where did you, like, I know a lot of your work started when Jaden crossed and you connected with him. So do you want to share your sort of beginning stories with your psychic work?
Yeah. Definitely. My, you know, I would say my life kind of flipped upside down and inside out in 2012 when my son Jaden passed away or transitioned home. I like to refer it that way. Mm-hmm. Jaden was born, you know, with significant, very significant medical issues since birth. I think the most significant, I think, was just he was permanently trached, and taking care of his trach was just, you know, could be astronomical. And when he passed away in 2012 because of his medical issues, which he had actually developed internally from sepsis, and in 48 hours he had transitioned. And from that point, wow, you guys, I know it's hard to hear me, or my voice may go in and out, but the love and grace and mercy I felt for my son really began to open my eyes to, you know, so much more. It really began my true inner healing, and it's been amazing. Jaden, you know, he was always nonverbal in life, meaning he didn't verbally communicate. He didn't speak. You know, when I say nonverbal, it doesn't mean that he couldn't make verbal noises, because for a child that was nonverbal, he was the loudest child I knew. he couldn't communicate his words. So once he transitioned over, oh my gosh, you guys, it was the first time I was really ever able to hear my son, and it didn't come with words from our mouth. It came from the soul. It shot out of his eyes and out of his heart. Do you know what I mean by that? You could see.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You could feel it. It's like he spoke through his eyes or through his soul to me. But it was so clear. And he began to explain his life to me and how much he loved me. And, oh, my gosh, he spoke. You know, this was his time. He had a voice. And from then on, we just started together this whole new journey. And from then, I have a better understanding and relationship with my son now than I did in life, because I understand him more, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I understood what life was like for him, to which he couldn't speak. And that created a lot of frustration for my son, I can imagine. So he was just, you know, from his transition, he was just so liberated. You guys, he was absolutely beautiful. He radiated. I seen him with my physical eyes. And when you experience things like this, nothing can take it away from you. It's your new reality of what you know. And it just, mm-hmm. it bursted me open, and my heart open in so many ways, in so many amazing ways. And we've been doing that now, oh my gosh, for the last 12 years. And that's what Jaden's Way Speaks group is all about. He really, from his spiritual a journey through the realities of heaven and the dimensions of heaven or the afterlife has really taught me so much. And we share that. He shared so much about his life, and what life was like for him. So we really kind of just stepped out and shared it with others. And it was just truly an amazing journey.
That's how it started. Yeah. Like there's no doubt, all doubt is removed. We should plug Camille Dan's book, too, if you want an interesting read into that sort of afterlife connection. Gathering at the Doorway by Camille Dan. Jessica and Jaden are in the book, plus that's a lot of good reading. And if you're wondering about your own abilities, and that's, you know, following people and following that gut feeling of, I once described it to Ryan as it's either yuck or yum. Yuck or yum. Yeah. Yum. Yeah. And and it's a very simple little thing. So, like, what happened with you, Tony? Did you wake up to your abilities all of a sudden, or?
Kind of. Well, no. So when I was a child, I fast forward a little bit past being a child, but when my siblings, or not my siblings, but my grandparents passed, I noticed that I knew when they passed because I couldn't breathe. Like my grandfather, when my grandmother passed, I was not even anywhere near her, but I knew she was going to transition. And the exact time that she would transition to the minute, I would stop. I would be gasping for air, whether it was 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. So I could tell you exactly what time they died. And so I think I was in my early 20s, but I'm sure it happened to me as a child, but just didn't, you know, with my aunts and uncles, but I didn't realize or didn't pay attention to it. Then as I got a little older, I knew that, you know, especially when my dad passed away, and I had already known you when my dad passed away, because he came to you through Marianne. But when I met Marianne, she kind of, when I would talk and I would get intuitions or premonitions about what was going on with her, and I would tell her and they were true or they would happen. So I would say in the last 4 or 5 years is when I realized from you guys that there was something to embrace it and something, you know, with it. But my mom was very spiritual as far as astrology and believing in the afterlife. And I believe she was also psychic. And so we've always been around that. Like we grew up around astrology and reading astrology books all the time and, you know, things like that. So it was really kind of the norm for me. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary. When I realized that I had it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that sort of damping down of the woo-woo, as they say, you know, you can't feel those things or do those things, you know, that's woo-woo. We still get a lot of sneering condescension from some people about that. Mm-hmm. You know, they seem to feel entitled to make fun of people who are working with their abilities. And that's a challenge, you know, to sort of not let that stuff get under your skin. Just send them love and don't let it, you know, don't even rent that in space in your head. They're going to do it. And what are you going to do? I had a very psychic mother who wouldn't let us talk about metaphysical things. And my dad was sort of secretly passing me books. And he left when he transitioned, he left me his little library that included the Seth books. Linda Irwin's dad was into the Rosicrucians. Anyway, there was a lot of metaphysical study going on with our dads. I must say, though, I don't want to embarrass Linda, but she was the one who allowed me to go back to, I was trying to pass as normal. As a kid, like you guys, you know, I had all these experiences. I saw things. I could communicate with animals. I saw ghosts and goblins and, well, maybe, yeah, actually I did see a couple of goblins. I don't know what they were. But that world was open to me as a kid. And so, astral projection, I remember just floating around, la, 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 la. And then I learned, you're not allowed to do that, you know? So I think for the teenage years, I tried to pass as normal. And then, I worked in theater, which is pretty abnormal. But when I came out of my last job feeling pretty persecuted, I ran into Linda and the JVP community, James von Prague community, and that kickstarted the psychic work again. I don't know how I got so lucky, but there was this lovely personality called Linda Rue who was just posting away, and I'm like, wow, I got to meet this person. And we've been friends for a really long time, and I'm ever so grateful. She's opened up a whole world to me. When she's back on the air, we're going to be talking about star seeds and things that I would have gone, what? But she's clarified a lot about this universe. You know, there's more to heaven and earth, Horatio, than meets the eye, you know, as they say. But there's no end of where we can start. But I'm just going to say, for people who are, like, you know you've got these abilities. You can feel it. You know, it's like Annie said, she would know stuff. Or Jessica was connecting with Jaden. It's going on. You know it's going on. But I just want to say, be careful of gurus. Be careful of those who are promoting their... And I'm not saying everybody's a charlatan. I am just saying be very, very careful before you start to commit to someone. There's a lot of pretenders out there who are really just, you know, everyone's got to earn a buck. I get that. But be really careful. Be really, really careful. There's, and I'm not going to. Yeah, exactly. And ask your team, your spirit team, for the teachers to show up, because they will. We say when the student is ready, the teachers will appear. but just again, follow that gut feeling, because if it feels like you're being scammed or messed about, check that out. And it's okay to just so say, hang on a minute, I need to think about this. You know, if there's pressure, I would say run away screaming, because no psychic worth their salt is going to pressure anyone. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a weird world out there, you know. But the thing is, you can tell when you run into the real deal. It's, again, you get the yum feeling. It's a feeling of expansion rather than contraction. And, you know, there's all kinds of exercises you can do by yourself or with a group that you trust to develop it, you know. So look out there and ask for the teachers and just follow that gut feeling. If it feels wrong, probably it is 100%, because your instinct is what's guiding you. Do you guys want to add anything? I don't feel like I'm putting the whole thing out there, but I know.
I was just, you know what, and I really love the subject, because, you know, before the show, I'll be honest, I didn't know what the topic was, but I was actually, I was actually reading a lot about this subject, and I agree wholeheartedly with you, Lynn. I believe that you really have to use your discernment, and in ways that I've been able to do that, it's not always easy to know what's, you know, what this or that, or, you know, I think the true belief for you is following your own heart and what feels right for you and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. Just like what Lynn said. The yum versus the yuck, you know? I mean, what feels good for you? What sets your soul on fire and helps you to grow as a person?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like an internal GPS that we all come to Earth with. It's a guidance system. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't let other people cloud that out. It's yours, and it's meant for you to use it. So, you know, trust yourself. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Trust your instinct, because it's usually 100% right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you are being guided by your spirit team, your friends and loved ones on the other side. We are more helped than we realize at any given time. Even when you feel lost and alone, you're never alone. That's the lovely thing. If we're blocking that feeling of having help, it's usually our own, you know, we're doing it ourselves. You know what?
There's one more thing I wanted to say. It's like I just read something that was really amazing. It was about transitioning when Jessica was talking about when Jaden transitioned, and, you know, my mom recently, it'll be a year in April, but I just read about what happens when they transition, that there is a team. As soon as they start crossing, that's why they see angels and people and their loved ones, because there is a whole team that is sent to them to help them with confusion or, you know, because when you're moving into a different fear or a different world, it's very frightening, but there's somebody with them at all times, like a team to help them transition, you know, because it's their soul, right, that is moving. Mm-hmm. And so they leave their body and they transition into a different, you know, different place. But there's a team of people that help them do that, just like there is on Earth, you know, when they pass away.
Yeah,
so they're not
absolutely
alone. It's not lonely. It doesn't matter how they were on the earth. If they were the most biggest serial killer that there was, there's a team there to help them. And, of course, they have to go through a series of things to make it all right, but they never transition alone on the other
well
side.
Well said. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, we are souls with bodies, not
with
the
bodies,
other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
We are not our bodies. We are in our bodies, and it's only for a short time. How you use that experience is an individual choice. But, you know, as Tony said, we're never, ever without the help. And, you know, if you're not, it helps if you can work out your feelings about death while you're here. Because if you don't have to cross with fear, it probably makes it a lot easier. But either way, we all get there from here. And I'm going to start. We're in a bit of a short show today, so we have to end at, we've got 90 minutes today. So I'm going to just get to our callers, if you guys are good with that. If you want to bring any of your questions here. And if you want to call in, it's 646-564-9868. So our first caller is 651. Hi there, 651. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi. It's Christiana from Minnesota.
I thought it was. I thought I recognized that number. How are you doing, love?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're hanging.
Good.
Various degrees of injury and sickness, but we're getting through it. It will be nice to have spring back and sun and all that warmth.
Yeah, it will. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, first of all, I'd like to say that I got a call that says that the blood tests for my baby didn't reveal the gender, and like they couldn't extract enough DNA, and that sends up red flags that it's possible something could be wrong. But it's also possible that everything with the baby could be okay. So I'm just, I know that most psychics don't really do health readings, but could you at least tell me whether or not the baby's going to be okay or not?
Sure. Can I jump in just real quick?
Yeah.
Hi, Christiana. And as you're talking, it just reminded, you know, it brought up a memory for me. I remember when I was pregnant with my son, Jaden. I do know that testing can be off or inaccurate at times. I felt the need to tell you not to worry almost immediately, but I'm also going to pull a card for you and get back to you. But what I wanted to say is, you know, all of the pre-screening that's done when you're pregnant, I had all of that as well. Where they screen out genetic abnormalities, all of my testing came out, you know, quote unquote normal. So Jaden was a huge surprise for me. That's what I'm saying. I think tests don't always detect, or can always detect them. So I just wanted to say that right off. And I'm gonna shuffle my deck. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, are you going to pull a card, Jess, or you want a minute? Because, Christiana, the first thing I thought of was that it's kind of soon. Well, how many weeks are you now?
I'm about 3 months in.
So that's not even close to 20, right? Yeah.
Not
something
quite.
Yeah, 20 weeks, it keeps coming to me, will reveal the gender. I feel I didn't get any kind of a, you know, my breath didn't stop or any kind of a bad feeling. I got a really cool feeling. As soon as you got on the phone, it was like all your little fairies were around and happy, and I didn't get any negative. So I think Jess might be up on this, right?
You know, it's funny you mentioned fairies, because I thought I vaguely remember talking to a group of fairies, and like they said they were going to give me like a child or something. And I was like, okay, I was like, okay, but you can't take the kid. You can't take the baby.
Yeah.
Like, it's here. And they're like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I could be wrong. I don't have a crystal ball, but the number 20 keeps coming to me, like maybe in 20 weeks or further, you'll know the gender. And I didn't get any negative feeling. So today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I didn't get a negative feeling either, Christia. And I also, the message came through, make sure you are not borrowed trouble. So watch your thoughts, because because it either panics and catastrophizes, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, I'm in agreement with Tony and Jess that it doesn't always, like, show. Yeah, in 3 months, that's pretty early on, okay?
Yeah.
So this is a good time to turn inward, work on your thoughts, and remember that our thoughts very often create our reality, and so do not borrow trouble. If it's not, you know, don't panic when there's nothing yet to panic about. I'm also not picking up anything bad or negative or heartbreaking. I'm not picking up anything that feels icky. I'm just feeling like work on creating a positive and safe environment for yourself and for the little guy inside you. And the gender doesn't really matter. You know, a healthy baby is where you go for. And I think, too, you will find out down the road. Just don't create what's none created is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Do not make trouble is what they're saying. So it's hard, Christiana. It's easy for me to give the advice. You're actually in the situation, but just keep working with that mental feeling of it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Okay. Don't let the worry make things worse. And you can do that. Meditation. Okay. And, you know, keeping yourself healthy. But we'll go to Jess.
I thought I'd mentioned that you were kind of cutting in and out. So, but I think I gathered what you were saying.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I don't know why that happened. We'll go to Jess and see what's coming in.
Okay.
Card.
Thank you. And Lynn, I hear what Christiana is saying, too. There is a breaking up when you speak, but it's not too bad. You could still kind of make out what you're saying. So I hear it, too.
Oh, dear. Okay. Must be my Hootersville internet.
Christiana, you know, two cards flew out for you. I want to address the question of what your pregnancy, and I'm just going to reiterate that, and I did reiterate with my guides as well. I just feel that everything's going to be okay, and I hope you find comfort in that. The two cards I pulled out, I think, is more based on your spiritual walk. And I got the Temperance card for you and the Upright. It's about harmony, a balance, a moderation, patience, purpose, influence, confidence, fusion, cooperation with others, and finding solutions. It's a big balance to create calmness. So that's the Temperance card I got for you. And then the other one I got is the Hierophant. And I believe this is where you're at in your spiritual walk. And this represents teaching, spirituality, tradition, spiritual wisdom, morality and ethics, forgiveness, compassion, and institutions. It's about understanding your higher beliefs, values, and personal boundaries. And that's what I got for you today. And I just wanted to, again, reiterate with love, I feel things will be okay.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah.
You're welcome. Okay, try really hard not to worry, Christiana.
I wanted to mention something. I forget her name. She was just speaking.
Tony?
What's your name again? No, the one with the cold.
Jessica.
Yeah, I had a son. He passed about a little over 9 years ago. And his name is Taylor, and he had a trach. And I remember cleaning it, and he would just freak out, and it was just he had a lot of medical issues and a birth defect. So I can relate to that, especially with the trach part. They do not like it.
It's very, I mean, I think, you know, the trach was so, and it can be so difficult because you are literally the lifeline for that child every day of their life.
Yeah.
It can be very difficult. Very challenging. Bless you. I just want to say that, and I feel that, like, I think that's what I've always felt with you, that caretaker compassion. You just have so much compassion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Gosh, thank you for sharing that with me. It's always nice to share those things, those experiences with one another, and I appreciate that.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing, too. And thank you, everybody, for the reading. And
you're welcome.
Again soon.
Keep in touch.
Okay.
Much love to you, Christiana. That's you're in our thoughts and our hearts, and just keep focusing on the positive as much as you can.
Okay, mm-hmm. I will.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
All right. It sounds like magical thinking that we're advising, but the thing is, our thoughts really do create our reality. So, yeah, it's a tough one. Boy, this Earth life is not easy. It's this plane is one of the most difficult. So if you've gotten this far, give yourself a pat on the back. I hope I'm not breaking up too bad. I moved my mic closer. Does that help at all? Or?
You sound better then. Yeah.
It's always something, eh? The tech. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's move on to 650. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please? 650. Are you with us?
Oh, hi. Hi, this is Huey. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi. Give me your name, please, again. Just one more time.
Huey. Huey.
Siri?
Huey.
Huey.
Yes. Yes.
Haley?
It's Huey.
Healy.
Yes.
All righty.
Yes.
Pretty.
Hi.
Okay. How can we help you, darling?
I just wanted to ask for some guidance. I've been feeling extremely scattered, unfocused, and ungrounded. I can't seem to shake it off. And I wanted to ask if there's anything that I need to really focus on to get back into alignment.
Okay. I'll start here if it's okay. I just wrote down pulling your energy. Is there somebody in your circle, your family, your friends, that is taking more than their share of energy from you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feels like that's at the crux of the problem. And again, it's boundaries. And there's something I read the other day that just made me go, wow, yeah. We have to establish boundaries within ourselves, because if we are givers, we have to know our limits, because the takers do not have any. And drill that into your head, because it feels like there's nothing wrong with you, except that you need to sort of get firm with whoever this is. And it may be they don't even know they're doing it, but somebody is messing with your energy, and you've got to say no, you know, back off. I read too that our energy extends about 4 feet around us, right? So even letting somebody in that close can mess us up. So it's working on boundaries, I think, hon. It really sucks, because we are naturally, as empaths, are givers, and it actually feeds us to give. But again, you run into those takers that are like, yoink, and you're just like, hey, and it's not hard to learn. Once you learn it, it sticks with you. And you're able to, it's almost like a martial art that you learn, and you, it's a muscle memory where it's like, that's enough, no more, back off. And it doesn't mean you're mean. It just means that you're putting your own well-being first, and you've got to do that. So I'm going to pass it around to Tony and Jess and see what's coming in from their end.
Mm-hmm. Healy, we've talked to you before, correct?
Yes.
And I don't know if I'm right, but I somewhat remember it's about a relationship that you broke up, but you're still in touch, and you might get, and it was like a relationship. She was saying that, or the person was saying that they would eventually want to get back together.
No, that's not me.
No. Okay, good. Is it a relationship, though, that we're talking about, a significant other of some type?
When I answered the first question, it's a family member that I'm thinking about and co-worker.
Co-workers.
So I'm just, I feel like it's just both, which is messing me up.
Yeah. I know. I just drew a bunch of mountains, and you're like lost in the middle of this valley and can't find your way out through the mountains.
Yeah,
I agree. I got the same feeling that Lynn did. They're just take. You have to, I don't know, you need to find your way out of it. Somehow without, you know, especially with the coworker, that's hard when you work with somebody every day. But maybe it's time to set boundaries, like she said, like Lynn said, is there a way that you can do that without, you know, putting your job at risk or the relationship at risk?
Yeah.
Give yourself permission.
Maybe you just need to go out. I don't know where you live, but, you know, the weather's really bad in some areas, but sometimes, you know, you might just need to go outside and meditate or take a deep breath and, you know, pull yourself up out of that valley, you know, through the mountains to the top is what I keep. So.
Hi, I can go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Jess.
Hi, Healy. This is Jessica. Forgive my voice today. I'm so sorry. And I hope you can hear me well. I just wanted to start by telling you what I felt immediately was that there was something around you or a person or someone in your, you know, close to your energetic field or something that was, I think, projecting their shit on you, if I can say that. And it's not you. Do you know what I mean? It's not the core of you. I think it's outside influence. And you are asking how you can find balance. And I think by kind of pulling your energy back in towards you a little bit helps, because sometimes us with super big hearts can put our heart out there so much, and we don't realize sometimes that we have to pull it back in towards ourselves sometimes, after, you know, we help people or after, you know, anything like that. And it's boundaries for sure. And, you know, it's just really kind of being strong in your energetic boundaries with that. And that, you know, that takes time and practice to discern what is yours and what's not yours. But I believe you've got that, you know, that discernment. I believe this is just probably confirmation for you of what you felt already. And I'm going to just tell just a brief story, because I have had to also learn my own boundaries, and that's still a work in progress. It is for me every day. I do have intellectual disabilities and autism myself, and I never understood boundaries growing up.
So I would be taken advantage of quite a bit because I didn't understand where to say no and where to set those boundaries until I got much older. So it's really, I think, that practice of discerning what is your energy and the energy that's outside you interfering with yours. And one way that I was just saying that you could do that is kind of taking hold out front of you. It's kind of on the side. You'll feel your own energetic, your own energy, your aura, your energetic field. And don't pull it too close to you, though. Just kind of pull it in a little bit set those boundaries, to know what's your energy and know what's not. And the card that I got for you is progress. You're moving in confidence and triumph. And looks like there might be recognition for that at some point along your journey. It says you have earned every one of your successes. So know that within your heart and soul. And just work on boundaries. It's just, you know, it's a work in progress every day. So, mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to pass on to you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that's good.
It.
Yeah. Pay close attention to that as we were talking earlier about the yuck or the yum feeling. If you're feeling, mm-hmm. if it's feeling like yuck, it needs to be fixed. And if you can give yourself permission to put your own well-being first, because honestly, nobody's going to do that for you. You know, you've got to put your own well-being first, and that's not selfish. Self-care is not selfish. It is actually very intelligent. So it takes a bit of courage. You know, it's going to feel, you might feel wobbly. Yeah. Did you guys ever remember the first time you stood up to a bully or someone who's, and you feel like, it feels really scary, but it's worth it. Yeah.
But I also got a positive thing. I got that you're going to have much success in 2024. That just came through. So maybe
that's
a positive message. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Yeah, I just got that. Yeah.
It's a nice, good feeling. Yeah. So don't let
anybody. So you're on the way out of this. I feel that this mess that you're feeling, it's on the way out, you know. But I think the boundaries have to be set, and then you'll be completely able to shake it all off and move on to your success. Yep.
Okay.
Let them feel it.
I got the goosebumps. It was
good.
It was really strong. Yeah.
Oh, good. Goosebumps are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna do fine. It's up to you, kid. You can do it. You know you can. And if they don't like it, if they're uncomfortable, well, they'll have to deal with it, right? So
that's their problem. Yeah.
Bullies and takers are often like, they want to make you feel guilty. But I always like to visualize Glinda from the Sound of Music, The Wizard of Oz. You have no power here, be gone. And just say that in your head. And yes, you are entitled to your own power. So let us know how it goes, Healy, would you?
I will. You always, always, I love you ladies. You always make me feel better after I talk to you. I get the perspective, the clarity, always.
That's so nice to hear. Oh,
thank you.
Sending you so much love and strength, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. I just checked into the chat room, and Bob's in the chat room, and I have a feeling our next caller is Bob. Is that Bob?
Yes.
Hi,
yes,
Bob.
It is, ladies.
How are you doing,
Bob? Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, thank you. Hello, ladies. How are you?
You're in the heat wave of summer, and we're in the throes of winter. So I don't know.
Yes.
How are the heat waves there in Australia?
Oh, God. It's like It's good if you live in a cold climate because you can always put more clothes on. But here in the tropics, it's like I want to take my skin off. It's so hot.
A couple of days ago,
we had a cyclone come through, and luckily it was only Category 1, Category 2, so it sort of ruffled a few feathers and threw a few tree branches down. And I'm sensitive to cyclones because I live in a caravan, so it's, or what
wow.
you might call a trailer in the States.
Trailer,
and I'm still on this journey with like Western medicine and their information about I might have bowel cancer or I might have prostate cancer, and it's like I'm sitting there thinking, well, why have I created this event in my life, and what is the lesson I need to learn from it? And it's like I'm getting this idea that the universe is saying to me, Bob, it's time for you to put up or shut up. You either go with your programming and jump into the Western medical model and let them get their knives out, or you go with your inner knowing and go to down the path of natural remedy, what they call alternative medicine, you know, like what grandma used to use, you know, herbs and all that sort of stuff. And it's funny, isn't it, how the system calls that alternative medicine. For me, it's the original medicine. Popping a pill is alternative medicine. So, yeah, I'm sort of sitting on that watershed of do I have bits cut out, or do I just heal from within with natural remedies? And it feels like I'm on the side of natural remedies because I've just surrounded myself with chlorine dioxide and baking soda and molasses and apricot kernels. So I've got all the gear here, ready to start on my own Bob managed cancer curing healing journey.
Okay. Bob, when you use all these things, do you study the underlying reasons why they work?
I spent a large part of my life in research, and actually, and I did really well in this life when I was working for SA Research, but somebody told me that in a previous life, I was a scientist in Atlantis. So it's like, I've already been there, I've done that, I've got that, you know, that sort of behavior, that acumen. So, yeah, I thoroughly research. And for me, I question everything. That's how I find my truth. And how do I know what is my truth? Whatever resonates with my heart. So doing my research on whatever I'm looking at, if something resonates, then, yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, Linda Irwin was also on Atlantis as a scientist, so you guys probably knew one another.
Yeah.
Hey!
I asked about you, when was it, a couple of weeks ago, you guys, on Enter the Light?
Yeah.
I already knew what the outcome was going to be. I got some kind of message for you. I was telling them that I feel that it wasn't great news. As far as the cancer. So did you actually get the message that there was cancer in the bowel? Because that's what I was told. So I was just wondering.
I had a colonoscopy and they found some polyps, like they do every time, every five years.
True.
And
yeah.
took them out. And then they said, but there were no signs of cancer. So in the colonoscopy. So that was encouraging. I know there's something wrong with my prostate, you know, just because of lack of sort of particular functions in that area.
So what do they want to do as far as the knife? What do they want to do?
Well, with Western medicine, it's like cut and slice, you know, like, oh, there's a, you've got a tumor there, and we're going to cut it out. Or a common step in treating an enlarged prostate with nodules or tumors in is they'll take the whole prostate out. Now, for me, it's just another example of Western medicine dealing with the symptom and not going to the cause, because that tumor or nodule is there for a reason. What caused it, you know? And so by taking out the prostate hasn't resolved the underlying, what triggered that cell to not die, to keep multiplying. And also from my research, I found that by the time a nodule or a tumor gets to the size of a pea, it's already been growing for 6 years. And the best information I've got so far is that 10% of people who have prostate cancer, you know, men and women, 10% of them will die. And that's just a numbers game. But for the remaining 90%, they will die with prostate cancer, but not of prostate cancer. And there is no shown benefit in going through any surgical procedure as to extension of life. It doesn't make any difference whether you get it taken out or not, and also quality of life. So it's just like the Western medical model is absolutely, how can I put it? I would say knowingly criminal, because all these procedures that people adopt and run to from a place of fear, the fear of cancer, all these procedures are expensive. They cost money. So somebody's making money out of our illness and our fear.
Yeah.
I'm not going down that fear path. No.
Yeah. It's hard to tell who's on the up and up.
Yeah, who's right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob, have you got any access to the Aboriginal medicine, Indigenous medicine?
I've just came across my horizon the other day. There are some things here in Australia. I think they call them Gumby Gumbies. So I'll be looking at that. At the moment, I need another couple of drawers for all the natural supplements I've got around me.
Well, that can be, you never know. But, again, you're using your discernment, what we talked about, the yuck or the yum feeling you're dealing. But I'm getting a strong feeling that if you can talk to some of the Indigenous healers, and you might get some wisdom there. In the north here, there's a fungus that grows that's had very, very good luck called shaga. And they've done really good tests with it. But I don't know if there's an Australian counterpart to that, because I know this is something that grows in the north in the cold. But see what you can find out from the Indigenous people, the medicine people, the ones who aren't trying to make a buck off the illness, because you're right. Like, you're up against capitalism gone crazy. That's a kind of a cancer in itself, eh?
Yeah.
But just see who you can ask for that. Go ahead.
I had a chat with a beautiful lady. What's her name? Brenda Davis. Brenda Davis Metz on News for the Soul the other day, and we're good friends, you know, we've been talking for quite some time, and she suggested looking at some mushrooms, and I've been trying lion's mane mushroom, and that's certainly making a difference.
Turkey tail as well.
It's so funny, you know, like, I am creator, the kingdom of heaven resides within me. If that's mm-hmm. true, then I am creator. I am part of creation. And I'm also part of the creator of creation. And
yes.
What amazes me about coming from that standpoint is I am powerful enough to heal myself without anything else. Because how else would the placebo effect work?
Yeah, good point. Very good.
People
point.
Just heal themselves from belief.
Yeah.
And there's this clinic in Beijing where the practitioners are just using chi energy to eradicate tumors. And it was a brilliant video from a documentary where the ladies, you know, on the table there, and they've got ultrasound over this golf ball sized tumor in a bladder, and they are just going, and you can actually see the tumor diminishing in real time until it's gone, and that yeah. what they are chanting just basically is saying, you are healed, you are well, there is nothing wrong with you. That's the energy behind, that's the intention behind the chant that they're using. And mm-hmm. like, that's amazing. But it's, just shows you yeah. what we mm-hmm. as we have forgotten how powerful we are, I think, in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
And
we're just on the edge of sound healing, right, Bob?
Yeah. Well, the right. Egyptians were good at sound healing.
Exactly,
you know that,
yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing what we've forgotten. And like the Dogon tribe in Mali, in their lore, L-O-R-E, the law
mm-hmm.
keepers, they say that we are supposed to have, I can't remember, it's 265 or 365, but we're supposed to have 265 senses. There was a time when we did have that.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Well,
we've forgotten
again,
so much.
It's self-awareness and self-observation. And I think you're on that path, Bob, just from what I know of you. Just follow that heart of yours because it's leading you where you need to go. I just have such a strong feeling that you want to connect with an indigenous healer, not somebody who's like da 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 da, but somebody who really is a true healer. You know what I mean? Like that's what they do.
Yeah.
We were talking about Reiki, and I had an injury in my neck over the last couple of weeks, and Linda sent me Reiki, and like it's not something I've really explored a lot. All I know is that for about 8 hours, I was able to get a healing sleep after she did it. And I'm like, okay. And our friend Ryan used to do that too. He could heal from a distance. It blew my tiny mind. But I have every faith that those energies are available. And don't
yeah.
give up till you find it. Uh-huh. Yeah, you find it, you will.
I feel the same way that you do, Lynn. I don't feel that the... I'm not necessarily thinking it's the Western medicine route, but I feel that there's something out there that needs to be more than what is happening now as far
Absolutely.
As the healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time with the modern medicine, and I'm not saying don't go that route, but...
Right. I'm saying either
feels,
or more. Right.
Yeah. Sometimes feels like they're flinging, they should just might as well fling dart to the dartboard and they're guessing. And they'll medicate for things that it may not be because they're guessing, oh, it might be this and it might be that. By the time you're through it, you're full of all this stuff that really you shouldn't have put in your body in the first place.
Yeah,
be very, very
yeah,
careful.
Yeah, and it's
yeah, but
so funny.
I agree with Lynn, though. I don't feel that it's going to just be that one concoct, you know, where you're... Something, there has to be somebody helping you with something for it to work.
Yeah, I get that. And two things. Last Friday when I was speaking to Brenda, she she radiates healing throughout her show. And we had a chat for 15 minutes on my topic, which is really good. And then I was totally wiped out for the rest of the day. It was there was a big shift. And it was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And
I
agree. In my own journey, the biggest step I made was moving out of head space and into heart space. And it's like I found my own, and this is a Bob word, I found my own solutions, within my heart. And I have more than 5 senses now. I have my sense of knowing and my sense of noticing. Now, my sense of noticing is that in my mind's eye, I envisage I've got my own personal drone that lives about a meter above and a meter behind me and is observing me going through my life as I go through my life. And the other thing about having that sense of noticing, I can take that drone and go up and up and up and up and up and get a higher perspective from wherever I want to view my existence. And it's amazing to play with that sense of noticing. And then the other sense that I'm growing and getting stronger with, my sense of inner knowing. It's like in the silence of my heart, I have found a place I call my knowing. And my knowing has no words. It's just a feeling of contentment. But in that space, in that quiet space, I found a place I call the universal library of all that there is to know. And I think other people know it as the Akashic record. But I'm getting stronger and stronger in my connection to that place. And when I'm being creative, it's like when I was writing my books, you know, they didn't come from me. They came through me. And they came from that place of the universal library of all that there is to know. I love that. I love that.
Absolutely. You're on the right track, Bob, I think. And I just wanted to add this. We are not advocating any sort of medicine.
No.
Every person has got to make their own choice. If modern medicine rocks it for you, that's your route. So we are not advising you to go either way. You know, your heart will tell you which way to go. Modern medicine can have miracles and wonders for people. So each person must make that decision, and we are not advocating one way or the other. I want to say to you, Bob, we've got a really short show today, so I want to just move on, but I want to suggest a book that kind of changed my life, if you can find it. Thrift books may have it. Michael Tierra, The Way of Herbs. That book blew my mind and opened my heart and my eyes, and I've never not turned to it for help. So if you can find that book, I'm sure... The Way of Herbs, Michael Tierra. He's a medical doctor.
Is that herbs or herbs?
Whatever you like, bud. Doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But just Way of Herbs.
I'll just close with this. It's like, because we're all sovereign, unique, and equal, I never give advice. For me, unsolicited advice is abuse. So if you want to be a true friend, when I put my hand up, then I'm open to help. Until then, I'm finding my own solution. So, I never give unsolicited advice. So thank you, ladies. It's always awesome to
talk
to you guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Lovely to talk
later.
To you, Bob. We'll talk to you again, and actually we'll keep in touch on Facebook. I follow your posts and whatnot. Okay. All right, love. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. going to try and get everyone in if we can. 856, yeah. You're on the air. Hi, can we get your name, please?
Sure, it's Rosemaria.
Hi, Rosemaria. How can we help you?
Whatever you guys can get. Because I've been working and everything, I'm manifesting, I'm not getting. So I just mailed a letter to a friend overseas, and I haven't heard back yet. So whatever you can get on that, or moving, whatever is coming to you. I'm easy going.
Okay. I think we're looking at non-attachment here, Rosemaria. If you study the Eightfold Path as presented by Buddhism, they talk about non-attachment to outcome. And I think this is the case where you've put that letter out there, you've put the requests out there, and it's time to let them go. Let them go and not expect a certain time of, like, because that's where we get into trouble. And they also remind us that the source of suffering, expectations of outcome. Okay, so I'm going to move you around to Jeff and to Tony, see what's coming through for their teams.
Jeff, are you good?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Rosemaria. The card that flew out for you for general guidance from Spirit is the Six of Swords, and this flew out for you upright. It's about transition, exit, moving beyond, about change, and moving forward. It also indicates that be mindful what you take with you when you move away from those problems. So it just sounds like to me you're kind of in a transition of moving forward from something. And that's what I got for you. And that's,
yeah. So, Rosemaria, is this letter detrimental in you have to hear back from this person in order to move forward, or?
One thing, and there's another one I have to do where I'm at.
Yeah,
because
I'm getting I'm getting a no. You're not going to get an answer that way. So, I mean, I don't know what it is that has to be done, but I don't, like Lynn said, I don't think it's going to just, I don't think they're going to get in touch with you within the next couple of weeks or anything. Is there any other way you can get in touch with these people in order to get to move on from whatever it is that's holding you back?
No, because they won't answer me by call or anything like that. So
yeah,
they have to do
so
it.
Is there any way you can just move forward without this?
Too much at stake for that one.
Yeah. I think you have to try to figure it out first and move forward and then come back to it, because it's not going to happen right now. I mean, that's what I got. But, I mean, I'm not a wizard, and I don't know for sure. It's just the message that I got. So, you know, I could be 100% wrong, and you'll get an answer tomorrow.
You never know. But let it go. Don't let it, you know, once you've done that, you've made your part. Put it out there and then let it go, because the attachment to outcome can be a real just a message with your head, hon. So, and I think I'm not telling you anything you don't know, really.
Right. Yeah, because and you can manifest all day long, all year long, whatever, until you believe it or make your mind clear for it to happen. I know for a fact, because I manifested about a lot of things. And mostly one of them was money. And you can actually block yourself from achieving your goals. And you think you're manifesting, but you're not. Because you're not clear, and there's too much holding you back in the, you know, things going around that are holding you back. You really have to have a clear mind and be free in order to manifest for it to come true.
Yeah. The spirit
for
of your
spirit
prayer will always be, the spirit of your prayer will always be answered, but we get what we need, not necessarily what we want.
we want.
So,
yeah.
That's no fun, but that's the way it works, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway. Okay, Rose Maria, I'm sorry to move on so quickly, but we want to try and get as many callers as we've got a bit of a shorter show today. So thanks for calling. Let us know how it goes, and we send you so much love.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, our next caller is Kimberly. Hi, Kim.
Hello, how are you?
Oh,
hi, Kim.
Hanging in there. We're in various stages of disrepair, but we're hanging in. And how are you doing?
Understood.
Yeah.
Good.
Sometimes feel like that Monty Python character. 'Tis but a flesh wound.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But anyway, how are you doing, Kimberly?
I'm well. I had a vivid dream about a white tiger.
Came
out of the snow. And it was my childhood home, no tigers in Alabama. But anyway, I didn't understand that. And then it appeared, and I ran into the house. And then I saw it prowling. And then it's almost like I saw another one in my home, and I grabbed it, you know, around the sheet, and I held it down, and I was calling my son's name to come and kill it. And then I woke up, and I did not understand that dream.
Yeah, don't kill it. It's good. It's a very good symbol.
Well, yeah, white tigers are good luck, I think.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, that's what I'm. Yeah, I think I'm reading the same thing as you are, Lynn. The white tiger usually means power, protector, strength, sexuality for female. You may be seeking your inner power. So, I think it's a good omen. I mean, it symbolizes that there's protection and power there and strength.
Fear. The fear is probably something that you know what I mean? That fear is yours to work on, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be feared from this tiger, not at all.
Okay.
In fact, I see you like, I don't know, did you watch a show called The Walking Dead at all?
I did not.
Okay, it's all right. One of the guys in it has this tiger. He's a former zookeeper, and he keeps this tiger beside him, and it's a wonderful protector, and it's a really beautiful image. And this tiger, it feels like, sits by your side and is there to protect you and to strengthen you. And do not let Micah kill it, okay? Please.
Okay.
It's a good tiger.
Yeah.
Good tiger. Yeah.
What I got about the white tiger is when you feel unable to cope with the situation in your life, the tiger spirit animal may announce itself to you to remind you of your strength. So is something going on with that lawsuit or anything that might be coming to
your
head?
No, so it's in the investigation phase right there, right now.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
So it's
still
maybe just warning you to be strong for something coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But put a jeweled collar on that tiger and love the heck out of it. It's there for you. Beautiful. Yeah. You're not a pet person necessarily, but I think if you're going to get a pet, you might as well get one that kicks.
A white, get a white tiger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am actually a pet person.
Oh, so. Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the universe is giving you one heck of a pet there, even if it's just in an energy form, but that's a beautiful.
Yeah, because you have a lot of nerve. If you see if the white tiger is in you, you have a lot of nerve, which you do. You have a lot of confidence and
Okay,
so
I've always
it could have
thought
been
that
kind of a mirror
Kimberly.
Vision.
Yeah,
some kind of a mirror vision that he's showing it to you to remind you of your confidence
and it's an unusual color for a tiger, most of them being an orange color, so and it's a reminder, like, don't let I've always thought about Kimberly, like, don't piss this lady off. Do not piss this person off, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the tiger energy, you know?
Oh, cool. Mr.
Kimberly. Yeah. No, it's a good thing. You carry it well. And, yeah, so use that. Did Jess, did you go?
Yeah,
yes.
I think she's gone.
Okay.
Oh, Jess went. Oh, no, Jess is here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. I hope that helps, Kimberly.
Idiot.
So we're all rooting for your tiger. That's really great. And just make use of that. Yeah. Yeah, Jan, I'm sure Jan Drake Bakke could expand on that for us. You should maybe call in on the Wednesday show and ask Jan about that, because she's like a totem expert. She's really good at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gorgeous. Well, kids, I think we're going to wrap up. We have Tony's got to be somewhere, and Jessica's gone. And I have a little dog jumping on me going, let me out, let me out, let me out. So let's just go around the table. And where can we find you, Jessica?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My name is Jessica Marie Petro, and you can find me under that name on Facebook. We also have a group called Javen's Way Speaks from Heaven, and that's on Facebook. And you can also find me on the Sacred Embers website. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay. Tony.
Yes. You can find me on any social media, Tony Jorgensen or Antoinette Jorgensen, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. I don't know. You name it. I'm on it. And and then I'm also, I'm everywhere. And then also on Enter the Light and Sacred Embers. And I do have a website. It's TonyTheGoodWitch@Wixsite.com.
Cool. And then if you want to find Linda Irwin, who's not with us today, you can find her. She's a moderator and basically a mentor at living.ai. And you can find her on YouTube under Linda Irwin. It's a yellow smiley face. You can't miss it. And she's got the best robots in town. I also wanted to add something about Twitter. For those of us, for those of you who gave up on Twitter because of the icky, ugly stuff that it was, there's a community that's been formed in Twitter called Good Twitter. And it's all, there's no yucky stuff. There's no politics or name calling. So if you still have your Twitter account, go check out Good Twitter. They're lovely.
Mm-hmm. How do you get on Good Twitter?
You can just find it, just type, like, search Good Twitter.
Okay.
And then there's there's a little questionnaire, nothing big. It's just, you know.
Okay, cool.
I think they're just screening out the creepies, right? But, you know, it's a lovely, I've joined it. I'm like, oh, I love you people. And it's all positive, wonderful, good stuff. And it's really helping to counteract the yuck of Twitter. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
It's been quite the journey. So I'm Lynn Bleasdale. You can find me on lbleasdale.wixsite.com/Lynn. The whole Sacred Embers team can be found at sacredembershow.wixsite.com/love. And our particular show has a page on Facebook. And that's just type in Enter the Light. And you can check us all out there. So I think that's it. And I think just to end our show, I haven't heard from Louie in a long time. Last time I tried to play music, it didn't work. But heck, I'm going to, you know, be eternally optimistic and give it a shot. So we'll be back next week. Unless, of course, some horrible thing happens, we should be back next week, you know. No more accidents or illness, but this stuff happens, right? Anyway, love and light to you all. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to our listeners. And love to you all.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.